Welcome to Christ and Prophecy Radio. I'm Tim Moore, Director and Senior Evangelist for Lamb and Lion Ministries, and I'm joined today by Nathan Jones. Well, let's jump right into it, Nathan. Let me start with a question, though, for our listeners. What do you consider to be your greatest blessing? Is it your health, your job, your family? What about spiritual blessings? Are you counting them? As Thanksgiving approaches, we're considering what I believe are two of the greatest spiritual blessings we should be thankful for as Christians.
I look forward to discussing those because Thanksgiving, Tim, is one of my favorite times of the year. It's a time of family and fellowship and good food. I have many wonderful memories of family gatherings, as I'm sure you do. Tim, you want to share one?
Well, you know, everybody thinks about food and family at Thanksgiving. And I will tell you, we have a famous family recipe for a casserole made of squash. And even people who don't like squash love our family's squash casserole. So that is a must-have. And of course, gathering with family and just recounting all the wonderful things that God has poured out into our lives. I think some people might add football to that mix, but I think food and family, not necessarily in that order, are the two top priorities.
Yeah, I'm not much for watching football, but we love to play Turkey Bowl, and so we'd pretty much be beaten up by the time it was to limp to their Thanksgiving dinner. All fun. You know, folks, as believers, every day should be a day of Thanksgiving, and yet too often we're ungrateful. We fret over things we just don't have.
You know, that's sad but true, Nathan. One of my favorite passages of Scripture is Psalm 100, which is labeled a Psalm of Thanksgiving. And it says in part, "Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise."
And that's the attitude we should live with, even in tough times. So today, we're going to reveal two spiritual blessings that should fill our hearts with gratitude every day. And I can tell you that both relate directly to Bible prophecy and God's plan for the future. Find out what they are in just a moment. In the meantime, I encourage you to check out our website at christinprophecy.org. We have a wealth of information about God's prophetic word to help you grow in your relationship with Him and get you excited, as Tim and I are, that Jesus Christ is returning soon. And folks, if this program's been a blessing to you, then please, while you're there, click the donate button. Okay, we'll be back in just a moment.
Studying Bible prophecy is an important practice for Christians who want to mature in their faith. At Lamb & Lion, we've compiled the best resources to help you explore and explain Bible prophecy. Our online store is stocked with insightful books and charts from authors such as Dr. David Reagan, Tim Moore, Nathan Jones, and more. So why not add a good Christian book to your library today or order one for a friend? Understand Bible prophecy better when you visit christinprophecy.org.
Today, Nathan and I are talking about spiritual blessings, and we're going to highlight two. Nathan, of course, one we're going to look at looks back, and one we will talk about looks forward, spiritual blessings given to us in the Word of God. So the first one we should be most grateful for is the one that looks back and sets Christianity apart from every other religion in the world, and that, of course, is salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ.
Yes, one of the lies of Satan that catches so many people is a works-based salvation, that you have to do enough good works in order to earn yourself a right to go to heaven. But the Bible compares our righteous works even as filthy rags. In other words, there's only one work that matters, and that's the work that Jesus did on the cross by dying for our sins and then beating death by resurrecting from the dead. And when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, then our sins are forgiven. And folks, that's called grace. It's only by God's grace do we receive salvation.
You know, the fact that Jesus Christ came, He lived a sinless life, He went to the cross willingly, and I won't even say eagerly, because Nathan, we know that in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus cried out and prayed to the Father so intently that great drops of blood came down his sweat, because he said, "Father, if possible, take this cup, this cup of wrath, this cup of judgment that I'm about to bear from me, but not my will, but yours be done." And so Jesus went willingly, obeying the will of the Father, to the cross on your behalf and mine. We are so very grateful for that gift. And that's why Paul could write in Ephesians chapter 2, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works," just as you said earlier, all our works are filthy rags, "so that no one may boast." What a joy it is to know that we are saved from our sins, from death, from hell, and into a glorious eternal relationship with God the Father, with Jesus Christ, and we will dwell with Him forever and forever.
Amen and amen. And that's why Romans 3:23 through 24 teaches, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Folks, that means that there is nothing that you could do to save yourself. We've all fallen short of the glory of God, but Romans continues, "Being justified as a gift by His grace, the redemption which is in Jesus Christ." So that redemption, in other words, that forgiveness of our sins, the punishment being put on Jesus instead of us, which is eternal life in hell, is then annulled. And then we can stand before the Father one day, justified, pure and holy before God. Folks, that is all God's grace.
And some of us think, well, I'm not that bad, was I? But what we don't recognize is no matter how many sins we've committed, we were unholy and unworthy. And so until we recognize our utter need for a Savior, we don't completely appreciate the salvation that is offered. But we should be absolutely and eternally thankful for the forgiveness of our sin because we didn't earn it. It is a gift of God, and Jesus indeed sacrificed Himself, His perfect life, for our sake and for our sins.
One of the stories that always touches my heart is a story about an Indian chief whose reports came from his people that there was someone robbing their tents. And so he finally sent soldiers out. They found out who was stealing, and it ended up being his own mother. Now, the penalty for stealing in that village was to be tied to a pole, have your shirt ripped off, and then whipped. So, being the chief, he had to follow through on the law. So, he had his mother tied up against the pole, pulled the back of her shirt off, they're ready to whip her. He says, 1 minute, and he wraps his body around his mother, and he takes the beatings for her. That was a gift that was unmerited. He gave it freely. He took the punishment for his own mother. Likewise, our Heavenly Father has taken the punishment. He didn't have to do that. He could have wiped away humanity and started over again with another people group. But He decided that He was going to give His own Son to wrap His body around us and take the punishment of death upon Himself. Folks, that is something incredibly to be thankful for.
You know, as we talk about salvation, and we're looking back, obviously, to the gift that was given by Jesus Christ at Calvary, the life that was laid down on our behalf, we're going to make a prophetic connection very briefly. This salvation was actually prophesied throughout the Old Testament. In Isaiah chapter 53, Isaiah, talking about this suffering servant, wrote, "But He was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The Lord has caused the iniquity of all of us to fall on Him." And so we know that the cross was the centerpiece of God's prophetic plan from the beginning. We're told that Jesus was crucified from the foundations of the earth. In other words, this wasn't plan B in God's mind. This was always His intention. And Nathan, the beautiful thing is, even as I cite Isaiah, we've talked about how Isaiah, when he was brought into the throne room of God, felt the magnitude of his unworthiness because he cried out, "Woe is me! I'm a man of unclean lips. I come from a people of unclean lips." And yet on this side of the cross, when John the Apostle was ushered into the throne room of heaven in Revelation chapter 4, he didn't make that same confession of "woe is me," because having trusted in Christ, having believed in Him on this side of the cross, John was no longer feeling the weight of his own sin that had already been borne by Jesus Christ.
Excellent point. Folks, the gift of grace through faith should fill us with an overwhelming gratitude every single day. But there's another spiritual blessing that should also cause us to rejoice, one that's yet to come, but is just as certain as our salvation. We'll reveal the second spiritual blessing we're featuring this Thanksgiving in just a moment. But coming up next, we're going to talk about today's headlines in a segment we call What's Really Going On? Stick with us.
God boldly recorded His prophecies in the Bible so that we could know for sure that He alone controls the future. Nobody is like God, and Bible prophecy points us to this fact. To find out what's really going on in the world, keep listening to Christ in Prophecy. It's your weekly perspective on the signs of the times through the lens of God's prophetic word. Your hosts are Tim Moore, Senior Evangelist for Lamb and Lion Ministries, and our Internet Evangelist, Nathan Jones. Lamb and Lion is a non-denominational ministry whose purpose it is to proclaim to as many people as possible, as quickly as possible, that Jesus is returning soon. To find out more, go to christinprophecy.org.
Every week in Christ and Prophecy Radio, we like to give you a segment called What's Really Going On, talking about some of the current events and the things swirling in our society today. Nathan, we've been on a trajectory for many years away from God, away from the Word of God, away from faith in Jesus Christ. And yet this year, we are actually encouraged by some of the signs we've seen.
Yes, we're going to focus on, folks, on what we're thankful for. You know, Bible prophecy isn't gloom and doom. There's hope and encouragement and blessing about Jesus' ultimate victory. So that's our number one thing that at least I am thankful for. But in the year 2025, we can look back and say, you know, the Lord has been working mightily. He answered all the prayers we've been having after years, as Tim said, of suffering under this woke and corruption and just all the nonsense that's going on. This year, it feels like there's a breath of fresh air in this country as we return to Judeo-Christian values, at least for the most part.
You know, even as we look to the Middle East, we often talk about Israel. There's been dramatic experience over the last couple of years, everything from October 7th forward to the onslaught of missiles hailing down on Israel from Iran. And yet the people of Israel have been encouraged because they've seen the Lord deliver them time and time again. Even secular Israelis, complete agnostics and atheists have said, we don't understand how we're being protected. It's almost like a miracle. And so God is working through these circumstances to demonstrate that He is still in control, that He still saves His people, and that He has a plan that will come to fruition soon and very soon. I will even say this, Nathan, as we've watched persecution rising in the West, but certainly in other parts of the world, the third world, we have Christian brothers and sisters who rejoice that they are found worthy of being persecuted for the cause of Christ. And so we should celebrate that there are people who have been faithful to the very end. And in our own nation, we've watched as a whole new generation of young people has been inspired, even this fall, to become more bold in proclaiming their faith in every sphere of human endeavor.
Yeah, that's one of the things that's really bothered me this year has been the persecution of the church in Nigeria. As radical Muslims continue to march into Christian villages and chop up the people with machetes, and yet, okay, that sounds terrible, but they keep showing videos of these churches rejoicing and celebrating afterward, praising God for His provision and deliverance. And so you're like, how could that be? You just lost half your family members, and they're still praising God. That is what the gospel is about. There's a Fox's Book of Martyrs that once said that the blood of the martyrs is what's furthered the gospel more than anything else. And that is so true that martyrdom, even though as terrible it is in the world, is bringing millions of people to Jesus Christ as we speak right now. And so that's something to be thankful for.
You know, obviously, folks, we are not mere optimists. We don't see the glass as half full and rising. We're not pessimists. We don't see the glass as half empty and draining. We talk about the trends, both positive and negative. But as followers of Christ, we are not optimists or pessimists. We are people of hope. And our hope is not in some ethereal hope in hope like Oprah Winfrey might have said. Our hope is in Jesus Christ, and He is the guarantor of every promise He's made. He is the yes and amen. So when we say we hope in Him and He is our blessed hope, it is the assurance, the blessed assurance that every promise He's made will come to pass. The promises He's made to us, the promises He's made to Israel, to the world, even to Satan. I rejoice that we have a great God and Savior who has the power and the truthfulness to keep every promise.
Well, Tim, I have a son in the military. You do. You're from the military. And so one of the things that I'm thankful for this year is the changes that Secretary of War Hegseth has been putting into the military to remove DEI initiatives, to remove wokeness, to get them back to being battle ready. That to me is exciting because, you know, I get stories from my son all the time under the Biden administration about how depressed the people in the military were, how they felt like they couldn't make a move without having some kind of initiative or getting in trouble for saying anything and not focusing on war and battle. And again, we don't want war, but we want our troops to be prepared. I'm very thankful for those changes that are happening in our military.
I truly hope that this year has been an inflection point, perhaps a turning point in this nation, at least in the hearts of many who will come back to the faith of their fathers and proclaim their truthful and proclaim their faith in Jesus Christ. Well, as students of Bible prophecy, Nathan and I, again, are hopeful about all the things that we see taking place, both the negative and the positive, because they are fulfillment of God's prophetic word before our very eyes, and they demonstrate the assurance of what Jesus spoke of in Luke 21:28, when he said, "But when these things begin to take place, straighten up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." And on that note, we'll be right back to talk about the second spiritual gift that gives us a forward-looking perspective.
Want to know what the Bible has to say about advancing technology, wars in Israel, natural disasters, rapid changes in society, and the end times? To get a trustworthy biblical perspective, keep listening to our radio program, watch Christ in Prophecy TV, and read the Lamplighter magazine. It's all available online at christinprophecy.org.
Welcome back to Christ in Prophecy Radio with Tim Moore. I'm Nathan Jones, and we're looking at the second spiritual blessing we've revealed today, and it's one that's yet to take place. It's based upon a promise of God that can be found in John 14, 1 Corinthians 15, and 1 Thessalonians 4. It's called the rapture of the church.
Well, Nathan, it's not just those three passages referred to. Over and over again, Scripture refers to the promise that Jesus is coming again. In Matthew chapter 24, even after he had described the destruction of Jerusalem, the disciples asked, "When will these things take place, and what will be the sign of your coming?" They understood that he would be going away and coming again. So that promise is repeated throughout the pages of Scripture. But we need to probably peel back and explain, what is the rapture?
Yes, if you go back to Revelation chapter 22, the very last chapter in the Bible, not once, not twice, but three times, Jesus says, "I'm coming back, I am coming back, I am coming back." It's an ironclad promise. So folks, what does that mean that Jesus is coming back? Well, let's look at the second coming. We believe that the second coming will be in two phases. First, the rapture of the church before a great tribulation, and then to return with Christ at the very end of the tribulation in his second coming. And we're going to use as our proof verse 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 17. It says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up, raptured up, together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall be with the Lord forever." So if you hear people say, "I can't find the word rapture in the Bible," Tim, where are they going to find it in that verse?
So it's right there in that verse, Nathan, that you just read. The word or the phrase "caught up," which in the original Latin translation of this passage was rapio. We transliterate that into the word rapture. So it is a word that does indeed appear in Scripture. There are some words that don't appear in the Bible, including the word Bible, and other words that don't appear in the Bible, including
Trinity.
Exactly.
Yeah, Trinity
does not appear, but we understand that even though the Lord our God, the Lord is one, we know that he is one God in three persons, the blessed Trinity. So this really isn't a stretch for us to understand that God makes revelation over time about himself and about his plan for mankind. And so indeed, this revelation that he would come for the church is one that we find primarily in the New Testament because it is a promise to the church. And we understand that Jesus has promised over and over again to come and gather those who are his to rescue us from the wrath to come. And as you just read from that verse, quite clearly, Jesus is to appear in the clouds. Believers will be caught up to meet him in the air. It happens in the twinkling of an eye, and that event is imminent, meaning that nothing has to precede that event taking place in human history, which is why even the apostles were eager for it to happen as early as their own day and age.
And that's why we put the rapture as part of the second coming, but bear in mind that Jesus is calling us up to the clouds to meet him. So it's not that Jesus is setting foot on the earth. He won't do that until the very end of the tribulation, but he's calling up all believers in Jesus Christ up to him. We're called the church or the bride of Christ. We are promised that we don't have to endure God's wrath. So the Christians, just like Noah in the flood or Enoch before the flood or Lot before the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah or Rahab taken out of Jericho, all were taken out or raptured out, caught up out of that destruction, that God would come up and rapture, catch up, protect, and take away his people before his wrath fell upon an evil and rebellious world.
And this is a promise for us to be delivered, as you said, from God's wrath. In 1 Thessalonians 5:9, Paul writes, "For God has not destined us for wrath." Who's the us? All who've put trust in Jesus Christ, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And even as we look to Revelation, we would point to the fact that from chapter 4 on, after John is symbolically raptured into the very throne room of heaven, there's no more mention of the church until the church returns with Jesus Christ at the end of the book. In other words, as all the wrath of God is being poured out during the seal and trumpet and bowl judgments, the church is not on the earth. There are tribulation saints, individuals who do trust in Christ during that time period, but all of us in this church age have been removed from the world before it endures the wrath of God.
And that's why Tim and I are strong believers in what's called a pre-tribulation rapture, the tribulation being 7 years of God's wrath upon the world, similar to the flood was God's wrath upon that time period. And you can find in Revelation 3:10 one of the greatest hopes to be thankful for concerning the rapture. The Lord promises when His great wrath will judge the world that Christians will not be here to endure that wrath.
And you know, this should be a source of great thanksgiving for all who have put their trust in Jesus Christ. Paul actually concludes his explanation in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 in verse 18 by saying, therefore what? Therefore, since we have the hope of the rapture, comfort one another with these words. The rapture itself represents our blessed hope, as is Jesus Christ, our blessed hope, mentioned in Titus chapter 2, verse 13. You know, Nathan, I started out by saying this episode we were going to talk about a great spiritual blessing looking back and a great spiritual blessing looking forward. I'm reminded of Paul's prescription for celebrating and commemorating the Lord's great sacrifice at Calvary through the Lord's Supper. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he talks about the various elements, Jesus' body, taking the cup as remembrance of the covenant of his blood, and we do this in remembrance of him. But regarding the body and the cup, those are looking back to his sacrifice. But in verse 26, Paul says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So we as Christians are backward looking, celebrating our thankfulness for Jesus' sacrifice on our behalf and to bring us into his kingdom of God, into a relationship with him forever and ever. But we are also forward looking, waiting for the time when he is coming for each and every one of us. And we know that that collective event will be known as the rapture.
God's grace and the rapture, two great promises of God that we can be thankful for. Stay with us. Tim's going to return and leave us with a word of encouragement. Well, folks, if you've been blessed by Christ in Prophecy Radio, we ask you to partner with us. We call these prophecy partners because we have a prophetic message, the soon return of Jesus Christ. Lamb and Lion Ministries exists to proclaim the soon return of Jesus Christ. We believe that when people are excited about the Lord's soon return, they do three things. One, they're called to holy living. Two, they go out and evangelize the world. And three, they have hope for the future. If you want to have holy living, evangelism, and have hope, then join Lamb and Lion Ministries in proclaiming the soon return of Jesus Christ. We want people to be blessed like you've been blessed. So check out our website, christinprophecy.org. Hit donation or donor at the top of our website, and you will know how to become a prophecy partner. You'll get a letter from Tim periodically, our Lamplighter magazine, and many other benefits that help you partner with us in getting this special message out. Please join us today.
As we celebrate Thanksgiving this year, my heart will be filled with gratitude for these two incredible spiritual blessings. But I'm also grateful for each and every one of you that is partnering with us and supporting our effort to proclaim Jesus' soon return. If you're not already doing so, I invite you to join with us and help pay it forward to other listeners, other Christians, next generations who will be encouraged by the good news that Jesus is coming soon. Well, folks, today, first of all, we talked about the gift of salvation that Jesus provided through his sacrifice on the cross, a gift we could never earn, but received by grace through faith. And second, the blessed hope of the rapture, when Jesus will appear to take his church home. These blessings should transform how we view our circumstances. When we see the signs of the times converging, whether wars, natural disasters, moral decline, and the regathering of Israel, we shouldn't despair. Instead, we should straighten up and lift up our heads, because we know these very signs point to the fulfillment of God's promises. As Psalm 100 reminds us, we should enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. Whether this Thanksgiving finds you surrounded by family or facing challenges alone, remember that if you belong to Jesus, you have every reason for Thanksgiving. Our salvation is secure, sealed by the Holy Spirit. Our future is bright, guaranteed by God's faithfulness, and our hope is imminent. Jesus could call us home at any moment. These are eternal realities that should fill our hearts with gratitude every single day. So as you gather around your Thanksgiving table this year, don't just count your earthly blessings, though they are many. Count your spiritual blessings too. Thank God for His amazing grace that saved you, and thank Him for the blessed hope that awaits. And in a world growing darker by the day, we have the brightest future imaginable. Until He comes, keep looking up and giving thanks, for our God is faithful and our redemption draws near. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, and Godspeed.